Okay, I'm really excited about this morning. I just, like, God really began to give it to me a couple weeks ago, and he really brought a word out to me. And I'm like, man, some days I tend to let it go. He said, you gotta be steadfast on this. He said, you know, there's certain things that we pursue with a passion, a vengeance. We go at it, Renee, with everything we got. And God was just, this what the couple passages we're going to share this morning is going to go there. And you know, sometimes the things we go at, maybe we miss the mark. Maybe we, you know, and then we disappoint someone. And so, this is kind of tied into the message, but I felt like I was supposed to share it. One morning there, Thad, I don't know which day it was when we're loading the chutes, and I don't remember if it was during the trip in slack or the slack for the rodeo, but we're back there loading chutes and loading cattle, and we had just a minute to catch our breath, and I'm leaned up against the fence, and I'm like, I have this thought, and I'm like, Lord, this is a real weird time for that thought to come. But the thought is, and he wanted me to share it because I think there's people in here that you really need to hear this. I need to hear it. He said, when you miss it, he said, I'm not disappointed with you. I'm like, okay. He said, I'm disappointed for you. Well, he said, you are the apple. He didn't tell me that morning you're the apple of my eye. But that day, he said, when you miss it, he said, I'm not disappointed in you. He said, I love you. He said, I'm disappointed for you because when you miss it and you don't quickly come back. You know, we're talking about, it can be in any area. It can be a sin or just something that maybe we felt like God told us to do and we didn't do it. He said, when you miss it, when you fail to be there where I ask you to be or to do what I ask you to do, because he said, I'm disappointed for you because you've walked out from under the blessing. He said, you've removed yourself from a position of divine influence, of my favor, because you've blocked your ears from hearing and your eyes from seeing. So I want, if that's you this morning, know this, God's not disappointed in you. I don't care. There ain't not one thing me and you can do to walk out from under the love of God. To keep Him from loving us. He loves you so, He loves every one of us so much that He sent Jesus here to go to the cross, to be tortured, beat, killed, and then raised Him up on the third day. So that we could be in right relationship. This is about relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about keeping a set of rules. It's about me and you's relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus. And when we get in that relationship and we cast not away our confidence, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 there, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And over in 11 it says, He rewards those that diligently seek Him. I encourage with all your heart, when we're fixing to get started, turn to Psalms chapter 1. And I'm going to read, we're going to read, go to Psalms 1 and Psalms 112. So, know that God's not disappointed in you. I don't care. Mom and dad might be disappointed in you. God ain't disappointed in you. He's disappointed for you. And He says, come back. Just come back. Run back. Okay. Everybody in Psalms 1, say amen. Okay, Psalms chapter 1, we're going to read like the first three verses right here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, think about this word delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, say, whatever I do, shall prosper. Now, you're in 112. I'm just going to turn over to 5 and read one scripture. Psalms 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Say, I am surrounded with the favor of God. There ain't no bigger favor. I'm going to tell you what. When we get under the favor of God, He makes people that don't like us bless us. Seriously. They can't help it. They'll say, they may come back to you and say, I don't like you. I don't know why I'm doing this. And you just go, I do. Because I'm surrounded with the favor of God. Now, y'all in Psalms 112? Okay. The key word here today is delight. The subtitle of this is the blessed state of the righteous. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delight greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash with his teeth and melt away, and the desire of the wicked shall perish. Is that not a good position to be in? I mean, it's like, wow. So God had me really focusing on the word delight. And we see there what it produces. You know, there in Psalms 112, when we're going to look at all those things, but like, oh my goodness, think about this. His descendants, our children will be mighty on the earth. When we delight in the Lord, we're operate in His word, in His way of doing things. Wealth and riches will be in our house. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. That's no confusion. That's not being put to confusion, but seeing when we need to see. Hearing when we need to hear. He's gracious, full of compassion, righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. Verse 5, he guides his affairs with discretion. When we delight in the Lord, we have supernatural insight into things. You know, decisions we have to make, things we have to do, places we have to go. And when we're delighting in the Lord and we're not in strife, we're not in confusion. When we're not full of envy and jealousy, we're not in confusion. We're in a position to be a demonstrator of the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. We're in a position to fulfill a destiny that God formed and fashioned for us before He formed us in our mother's womb, before the foundations of the world. The destiny that God has for each and every, we have to be get convinced, fully persuaded, that destiny He has for us is much better than the destiny I have for myself. We all got dreams and things, and I believe God put those dreams there, but it's when we decide, okay, I can make this come to pass faster than you can, God. Anybody been there? Yuck. It's one of them yuck spots. Because sometimes, you know, I don't want to go into all the ones I created. Kathy could share some of them with you. But when we create them, and then we're like, oh, Jesus. He's like, yeah. You made a mess. But you know what, son? I still love you. And if you'll back up, get in line, we're going to get out from underneath it. I'm going to bring you out of it. But quit trying to get ahead of me. Your steps are ordered of me if you'll allow your steps to be ordered of me. I'll cause you to be in the right place at the right time. But, you know, when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's miserable. sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, and it can be uncomfortable, but when you're in the wrong place at the right time, it's downright miserable. And you then, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I've tried, okay, I can get myself out of this. And it's like, you know, it just gets deeper. And then, you know, it's like the frog in the hot water and all that stuff. It's hard to get out of it because we got to yield to the Spirit. So, delight. I want to taste and I want to share some things with you about delight. To delight in the law, the word of the Lord, means to find joy, pleasure, and satisfaction in God's word and His will. It's more than just obedience. It's a heartfelt commitment to His teachings driven by a love and desire to please Him. That's the first part. This heartfelt commitment of desiring to please God, to go where He'd have us to go, when He'd have us to go, to do the things He's got us called to do, that's one of the characteristics of delighting in the Word of God. It's making my mind up that I am going to be a doer of the Word of God. If God says go, I'm going. Because that's where He is. Where He'd have us to be is where He is. And as Moses said, if you don't go, Lord, I'm not going. I want to be where God has us to be. And, I mean, Kathy and I can testify, and I'm sure several of you in here, most everybody in here can, if we look back on it and think back on the things and places in our lives that when it's been a God deal. And a lot of times in the process or on the road to a destination, you know, we're not just in a destination, we're in a journey, but a lot of times, there's a whole lot of different stops in this journey. There's a whole lot of different places because as we're maturing and as we're hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God, He is stepping us up each time. And He's moving us into positions of more responsibility, of more accountability, because we've been willing and obedient. And I got to tell you, you know, how long we've been here now? 5 years? Is that COVID? Yeah. And I love to watch people. And it's amazing. But I want to tell you what, the growth over the last 5 years in our church, I don't mean the number of people, I mean in the spiritual maturity of this body of people is tremendous. It is. It is like, it's awesome. Because of Corey and Jamie's obedience. And, you know, another thing that I'm going to have to say, and I'm not bragging on me and Ricky or Howdy, but we're in no competition with Corey. We all have this relationship, you know, that we're happy to fill in with when he's not here, but we don't want his job. And we support the vision that God's given Corey and Jamie. Whoever, wherever God ties us in, we've got to be willing to support the vision. If God, years ago, we were there in Mason, early times in Mason, and Renee, we were doing this, the church, and God called us to, it was kind of an outreach thing, and we didn't have a permanent building or anything, and we had places we met there in town, and we had a core group of people, and I'm going to tell you what, Miss Judy, one night I'm sitting under a tree one morning just praying, and God said, I want y'all to take this to, we're in Mason now, and he said, I want y'all to rotate Sundays, and I want a service in Mason, a service in Junction, a service in Menard, and a service in Brady. And you rotate each Sunday. So we got a lot of new believers. We got a lot of people that came out of Lutheran and Episcopal churches, and now they're Spirit-filled, and they're doing all these things. And so God says, I got to have a meeting, Roger, and how to tell them what the vision is. And one of the guys in there, name was Rick Tripp, and he was in the real estate business. He was an auctioneer, and he could talk. And me and him, we were great buddies. Actually, one day at Cowboy Church, when we first started, he's sitting on a bale of hay in the front row, and And I don't know, somebody sang a song, and I said, Rick, you want to sing? And he's like, no, I don't sing. I said, I bet you are before long. He wound up going and doing music for us at places shortly. But anyway, I tell them the vision. We're going to go to four different places. And they all like, you're nuts. We can't do that. That means we got to pack up sound system, music. And we're all going to travel to those towns every week. Because we had people that came to Mason from all of those other three towns. So Rick Tripp, he calls Glenn the next morning. He said, Glenn, Rusty's lost it. So we had a meeting last night, and he tells us we're going to go to three other towns. We got to go to Junction, Brady, and Menard to have church, and Mason. We're going to rotate Sundays. And Glenn listens to him like Glenn would do. And he said, well, you going to go? He said, we can't do all that. He said, well, I suggest you leave then. He said, if you can't support the vision that God gave Rusty, you don't belong there anymore. And I'm not asking anybody to leave, okay? So that's not what I'm just saying. The importance is supporting Corey and Jamie's vision and getting tied in and not trying to push our own agenda on something. And so Rick said, okay, I'm going. I ain't liking it, but I'm going. 6 months. And, I mean, we've got a number of people at each deal. Kenny, you went with us, didn't you? Yeah, because Kenny took music. Oh, my goodness. 6 months. I mean, it's and then I don't remember if it was exactly 6 months or a year when the Lord said, okay, now you need to appoint people to maintain those outreaches in those towns, and y'all just go back to Mason. So now I got to call another meeting. And I tell this core group that's done all this work. And they're like, do what? We ain't stopping. This is fun. We're seeing people saved, set free, and delivered every week. And said, man, that's a whole lot better than staying in one place. Okay. But we did, and you know, it all worked. And there was an outreach that went on in Junction for a good bit of time. I think a lot of them just got old. But Menard, there's still a cowboy church in Menard, and all, just different people. And we got to support the vision that we're under Pastor Corey and Jamie. And we got to support their vision. We got to get behind it. We got to pray for it. And I'm not make suggestions. Say, what can I do to help and be what God's called us to be? So that's delighting in the Lord. That's getting plugged in, as Corey says, getting planted and growing where we're planted. Okay? This delight is often associated with meditating on God's Word, reflecting on it throughout the day and night. You know, when we stay in the Word and then you start waking up at night with Scriptures on your mind. You stay in the Word and you repeat the Word. You meditate on the Word. You know, like a cow chewing her cud? You just keep chewing on it. You swallow it and come back up. You just keep chewing on it. You regurgitate it. You keep it before your eyes. As it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, keep the Word in front of our eyes and in our heart. And it grows. It's a seed that grows, and it just begins to overtake our lives in a way that in every situation and circumstance, we begin to see the application of the Word taking place in that area. That's why there's such a level of maturity, spiritual maturity in this house. Because y'all apply the Word. And the more, listen, the more we meditate on it, the more we run into situations and circumstances that 5 years ago, we'd have almost wanted to run from them. And today, you know with all your heart that, hey, God said, go, do this, get her done. And we cast not away our confidence in Him. We delight in the Lord. Our delight is in the Lord. Finding joy and satisfaction. Delight is the context, as in this context, implies a deep sense of pleasure and fulfillment, not just a superficial interest. It's not just about what it can do for me. It's what... how the goodness of God becomes so, I become so saturated with the goodness of God that it flows out, and it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the goodness of God that people see. It's not, they don't need to see what I think. They need to see what God is doing through each and every one of us. They don't need my opinion. And we won't go any further with opinions. But they don't need our opinions. They need to hear the Word of God. And in a manner, you know, and I'm not saying you got to quote Scripture to them. It's just, but when the Word of God permeates our lives, when we delight in the law of the Lord, when we delight in His Word, it begins to consume us, it begins to permeate us. And in every situation and circumstances, the Scripture rises up. We begin to see things that we're like, you know, goodness, Lord. Willingness and obedience to delight in the Word of God. Meditation, reflection. Delighting in the law involves actively engaging with God's Word, thinking about it, and reflecting on its meaning. As I began to read this, I pulled up delight yesterday, and man, it can go on a lot further than what we're going this morning. I mean, goodness gracious. But you know, when you delight in something, you get consumed with it. You know, and that's what God's wanting us to do, to get so consumed with it that, you know, that is one of the tools, for lack of a better word, tools. It's one of the things that happens as we get consumed with the Word and the Word rises up in us. When the enemy brings those thoughts, you're gonna lose that. You ain't gonna get over that. It's like, wait a minute here. Who am I? I'm a child of the Most High God, redeemed from the curse. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've begun everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Who are you? You're a fallen angel. He kicked your butt out. He let me in. Man, that's something to get excited about, you know? It's like we got to cultivate that picture of who we are in Christ. We got to cultivate that relationship. We got to get delighted in the Word of God and say, you know what? It's going to take over my life. Amen. Kenny uses it when he's fishing up there in New Mexico, where he's going here in a few days. Catches more fish. God said, I give you dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the fish in the rivers and everything. And Kenny catches lots of fish. And it's cooler where he's going. We're going to be suffering in the heat while he's up there in the cool weather and mountains fishing. But that's okay. Because he's got to come back. And it's going to hurt worse when he gets back after being up there. Just kidding, Kenny. We got to delight. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We become willing and obedient. And the Lord says, you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Pleasure. You know, Dennis McKinley was the one that got, that's in Job chapter 36 or 37. You'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Now, prosperity, I'm not just mean that you're so abundantly rich that you just, that's not what I'm talking about. That's okay. That's a good thing. But prosperity is being able to meet the needs of mankind no matter what those needs are. We got everything taken care of, and we're just rolling because we're a vessel. We're a spout which the glory flows through and comes out. That's what God intends for us to be. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We're meditating on the Word. We're being a doer of the Word. We're so delighted in it that we're constantly thinking about it. We're talking about it. We're keeping it before our eyes. We're talking about when we sit down to eat, when we rise up, when we're in the car. Love and commitment. A heart that delights in God's law is driven by a love for Him and a desire to live in accordance with His will. Listen to that again. Love and commitment. A heart that delights in God's law is driven by a love for Him and a desire to live in accordance with His will. You know, I've had people that over the years that were anointed to do the things they did. And each one of us in here, we've got things we love to do. We like to do. I believe that is from God. Because that's where He incorporates us into our area of influence. That's where we're the most productive. But when that passion becomes God, then it's a wreck. It takes over, and then it's not it doesn't work. But when we keep the passion in line with God's way of doing it, not getting ahead of Him, following it, doing what we like, doing those things, God uses us in those areas. And a friend of Kathy's years ago, she was having some real issues with a barrel horse, Cindy Wheeler. And she just was having issues. And it wasn't winning nothing. It had been having horse troubles. And she said, "You think God's telling me to quit?" And I'm like, no, God ain't telling you to quit. It ain't your God. The devil doesn't want you to succeed. You know, it doesn't matter what we're doing. He does not want us to succeed. And so that's why there's obstacles. You know, God didn't promise a rose garden. You know, if you want to look at what most people would interpret as failure, is watching Jesus go to the cross as the disciples did. But then He's raised on the third day, the ultimate victory. Listen, we got passions, desires, and those are things. As we delight in the Word, God transforms all of that into affecting other people's lives that we're surrounded by, that He's put us with. And we got to cultivate that passion, that delight in His Word, so that the Word consumes us. You know, as Corey's talked about, singing in the shower. You know, the Word must consume. Make more than just obedience, make more than just obedience. The key is a joyful and willing commitment to follow the commands of the Lord. I make my mind up that, you know what? At the time, a lot of times at the beginning of something, it's kind of like, that ain't going to look like much fun. But then when we get into it, we start seeing the fruit. What did it say in Psalms 1? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll bring forth His fruit in His season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever He does will prosper. Steadfast, fully persuaded, convinced, delighting in the Word of God, that I've made up my mind that that Word is not going to return void in my life. And I'm going to continue to speak it. I'm going to continue to declare it. And there's some days that, yeah, it's harder than others, you know. But there's some days we're not seeing a manifestation that we want to see, but I'm not going to quit. We've stepped over the line. We've said, you know what, this is where I'm going. I am going. And if it all goes to hell in a handbasket, then I'm in the presence of the Lord, and that's the best place in the world to be. Don't try to go out of here before your time. We got to fill our spot. We got to delight in being what God called us to be and get excited about it and know that I don't care if we're 7 or 75 or 8 or 80 or whatever, you know, as long as we're breathing, we still have a purpose. I'm gonna leave that right there. If we're breathing, we have a purpose. Continuous focus. This phrase, meditate day and night in Psalms 112, highlights the need for a continuous focus on God's Word and His will. In essence, delighting in the law of the Lord means embracing God's Word with a joyful heart, seeking to understand and apply it to every aspect of life. I've shared talking about that with you before. I'm going to tell you what, for me, it's at the roping pen. It was working cattle, especially with the kids. You know, but every aspect of life. God is interested in every aspect of our lives. He's put us there. He knew that we'd each one be here today before He formed us in our mother's womb. It's hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? To grasp that before I was born, God knew I'd be standing here talking to y'all. And some of y'all said, if I'd have known that before I was born, I wouldn't be here today. Those things, we're not here by mistake. We're not in the positions we're in by mistake. Kathy reminds me all the time, your steps are ordered of the Lord. You're in the right place at the right time. Lord. I have walked out from underneath that, Betsy. I was getting a picture of, you know, you sometimes, oh, the cars today. That's what I was trying to think about this on the way to church this morning. While I was reading and praying this morning, God brought this little picture to remind you, all these new cars, you got that little error in your mirror when somebody pulls up beside you. And there's even some of them that tell you you're in the wrong lane. I told Kathy, do not activate that. I'll know if I'm in the wrong lane. God said a lot of times, you need that little light in your life. He said, you not only got out of the lane, you're over in the ditch. He said, I'm trying to help you stay out of the ditch. It's one thing to move over a little bit. When Bo and Kathy Lowe were here, we're coming to church for the morning. We're talking. I'd hit those little thump, thump, thump deals on the middle line. And directly Bo says, are you going to scold him? I said, scold me for what? He said, well, every time I hit them little lines, she's scolding on me, you know, when I'm in the deal. And God says, I'm trying to keep you out of the ditch. Don't get in the ditch. Follow the light of the Holy Ghost. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, and I'll keep you in the lane that I created you to be in. Delight in my word. Take pleasure in knowing that I got this. I planned your days for you before the foundations of the world. You know, I told y'all in that Psalms 103, it says, he fashioned our days for us. I say, thank you, God, for fashioning my days. My days are fashioned by him, written in his book. And every morning I tell him, I want to fulfill what you wrote down for me today. And sometimes I ask him, why did you write it this down today? We're all guilty of it. He said, trust me. Back over there in Psalms, Proverbs 3, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. And sometimes we need to stop right there and say, okay, I'm trusting you. I'm going where you'd have me to go. I want to turn with me to Isaiah 62 right quick. Kind of a picture of what happens, a little bit more of a picture too of what happens when we delight in the law of the Lord. This is assurance of Zion's salvation, us being grafted in. You know, he's talking about, you know, Israel, Zion here, but it's not that long. There's only 12 verses. Let's read it. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. This is God saying, for Zion's sake, for our sake, he said, I'll not hold my peace. For your sake, I'll not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I'll not rest. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. Our salvation will burn as a lamp to the people around us. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. And Beulah, I wrote this down. Let me get back to it. It was pretty good. Beulah is a state of blessed union and intimacy with God. That's what he's saying we'll be right there. We shall be called, and our land, Beulah, for the Lord delights in you. The Lord, not as we delight ourselves in the Lord delights in us. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in earth. You know, right there, verses 6, he said, I've set a watchman on your walls. We're grafted in. He set a watchman on behalf of each and every one of us. And he said, don't be silent. Remind him. God said, put me in remembrance of my word. Keep reminding me. You know, in other words, be in that delight and thanksgiving. Verse 8, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies. And the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. What we work for, God's protecting it, okay? Verse 9, but those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it up together shall drink in my holy courts. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the people. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Isn't that awesome? As we delight in the Lord, he delights in us. There's not one thing can separate us from the love of God, and God's not disappointed in us. I love that, you know, because that means when I make a mistake, he's like, it's okay. You know, that's why it says, you know, tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we're faithful if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do a lot of repenting. Probably all y'all don't have to do that, but I do. I get off track and I get off base, but it's way better than it used to be, Renee. Whoa, a whole lot's better. You know, I delight. That's the word for the day. And take it in this week and meditate on it, think about it. I encourage you, go pull it up somewhere. Man, there's a whole lot more to it than what we just talked about today. But as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. He causes us to be who he wants us to be in every area of our life. And we're not confused. We know what to do. A light shines on all our ways. So I thank y'all for listening to that this morning. I hope it's been encouraging. And if there's anyone in here today that you're like, I don't know how to get a hold of that. Maybe you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never been, you know, we're all a spirit. We're made in the image of God. And our spirit man needs to be reborn to be able to fulfill this destiny and to walk in this. And so if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want to do that, we're all going to pray a prayer here in just a minute. And I encourage you today that it could be your God day. This may be that God puts you here today for a purpose, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all pray this prayer together. Father God, thank you today for my God day. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. You raised him on the third day as he beat death, hell, and the grave. Just for me. So that I could come into right relationship with you. So Lord, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe you raised him from the dead. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And from this day forward, I serve you. My name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today was your God day and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, we won't get you a Bible. I won't embarrass you, but we won't get you a Bible. So I'm going to count to three, and if that was you, just raise your hand and I'll bring it to you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. I thank y'all so much. This was just a fun day for me. And listen, as Corey says, I wasn't preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to me. I mean, y'all just got to hear what God's been dealing with me on. He said, you need to get a little more delightful some days. And Kathy says that all the time. And so, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank y'all so much. Y'all have a blessed week. And I'm going to get John, I guess. Somebody's coming up here.